It is a truth universally acknowledged that on one's 250th birthday, there should be a celebration. I'm Claire Nichols, and on The Book Show, we're raising our teacups to Jane Austen.
Why Austen? What is it about her?
Authors Colm Tobin, Karen Joy Fowler, and more will explore why, in 2025, the Austen effect is bigger than ever.
It's quite incredible.
Search for The Book Show and look for Dear Jane wherever you get your podcasts, or hear it now on the ABC Listen app.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
From pub bands to street buskers to TikToking teens singing from their bedrooms, the world is full of music covers. Some are admirable, others are average, yet every so often an artist will come out with a cover that flips a song on its head or introduces it to an entirely new generation. So what's the secret sauce when it comes to covers? And why are we drawn to making the old new again? I'm Siobhan Marin. This is Quick Smart, the show that feeds you big ideas in bite-sized pieces. When is a cover better than the original? How have covers changed between eras? And why is pop music so ripe for reinvention? Someone who's been putting the tunes to the test is producer of the music show on Radio National, C. Benedict. Hello, C.
Hi, Siobhan.
So you have a segment on your show called Cover Story. Tell me a bit about that and what makes for a good reinvention.
Well, it's basically putting the music show listeners to the test, which is to spend an entire hour listening to the same song over and over in all of its different iterations. And we kind of go for like best, worst, and weirdest. And really, I think what makes a good cover, a lot of our guests over the many episodes that we've done have talked about owning the song. When you kind of forget the original version when you're listening to this cover version of it, there are so many examples of songs where the original performer actually kind of didn't do it best. You know, there's an episode that we did recently, The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face.
Sorry, and Roberta Flack covered it?
Yeah.
It was my wedding song, Walking Down the Aisle.
Was it?
The Roberta Flack version.
The Roberta Flack version, which is this beautiful, huge, romantic torch song that a lot of people think of as The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. But it actually started its life as a very simple folk song that was sung down the phone to Peggy Seeger when Ewan McColl was trying to get her to fall in love with him, basically. And she started singing it, even though it was kind of from his perspective. So she was the original performer of that song that was written by Ewan McColl, but she's the face.
Wow.
From The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face. And then Roberta Flack did it in 1969, and it only got popular in 1972 when it was in a Clint Eastwood film. And then everyone was like, this is the song. But that song actually started life as a folk song down a telephone line.
Now, something I had not realized is that Cyndi Lauper's song Girls Just Want to Have Fun is actually a cover.
Not only a cover, but a cover of a song that was originally performed by a man, which really, really changes the meaning. This is originally performed by Robert Hazard, which I think is like borderline pervert behavior, honestly. Like the idea of Girls Just Want to Have Fun and the lyrics of Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which is really, really about, like, you know, lowering your inhibitions and going a bit wild with it and being kind of sexually provocative. That in Cyndi Lauper's voice is empowering and interesting, I think, especially for the context of the time. Some man who's 20 years older than her doing it, I don't know.
Yeah, bro, what made you think of that?
Bro.
Now, there's obviously covers from every genre, but pop music in particular seems to have the most. You might disagree. What are the origins of pop music and why is it so coverable?
Well, I'm not sure that it is true, honestly. I think that in terms of songs getting covered before the internet age, it was even more important that songs were performed by lots and lots of people before we had all of these ways of keeping records. I mean, if you go back to the time before you could record something in your own home, which is really only like, you know, the 70s at the absolute earliest, before that, if you wanted to hear a song, you had to play it or someone you knew would have to play it. So the entire folk music tradition is an oral tradition where one artist would give a song to another artist and that artist would then give that song to another artist. And that's analog virality, I would say. Whereas when it comes to pop music, because the original song in pop music is not just what's written on the page, it is the production, it is the vocal performance, like Hit Me Baby One More Time by Britney Spears. That song includes Britney Spears's voice. Mm-hmm. It involves her vocal fry. It involves the very turn of the millennium production. So when anyone else does that song and any of those things are missing, it becomes something new and therefore is so directly comparable. So I think it's a fundamental thing about the process of production and pop music not being a song as written, but being a song as heard and recorded.
Are there any recent covers that you've become obsessed with?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of our recent cover story episodes deals with Australian Crawl's Reckless, which I think is one of the great Australian songs of all time. And there is an Angie McMahon version of that, which was done for Like a Version, which is Triple J's amazing long-running cover version series. Angie McMahon does not use almost any of the original lyrics of Reckless. She updates them, and it is all about climate crisis. And then she sings the chorus, throw down your guns, don't be so reckless. And her voice just sits in this absolutely perfect place. And you feel like you're in mourning for the planet with her. It is an extraordinary piece of work.
It's a really good point to make. I mean, Like a Version has had many hits that have gone viral across the world. Do you think that speaks to the fact that we feel comforted by new versions of songs that we might know and love, you know, or is it a bit of a lack of originality? Like, what's going on there?
I think that songs from our recent and not so recent past are a really good way of reconnecting with a large group of people. Culture is really atomized now. The number of new songs that all of us know, both me and my dad and my cousin, you know, who all live in very different worlds, have different sort of demographic features, we don't know the same songs anymore. I think I actually don't know who you would say in recent years is bringing out songs that like three generations worth of people can all sing along to. Whereas if you go back to the Beatles, if you go to Cyndi Lauper, even if you go to Oasis, who are like 20 years later and, you know, playing in Australia right now, everyone can bellow along with those songs because they are from a time where we all were listening to the same thing. And that's just not the world we live in anymore.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of critiques that can be made about monoculture, but there's also something beautiful about everybody knowing that same song and having a shared experience around it, right?
Yeah, and I think that we really, really crave that. I think that's why these big nostalgic stadium shows are doing so well. And this is why this culture of cover versions is so huge.
On a final and very serious note, my producer, Jessie, wants to know if you'd consider the Fairy Godmother's cover of I Need a Hero in Shrek 2 to be the best cover of that song.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great cover because it is something that is completely owned by that character and that voice actor doing that performance. A really good example of a fantastic cover. It, you know, drives the story along. It has a little bit of pastiche to it, but it is absolutely its own thing. I think you're going to fight me if I don't say that Bonnie Tyler's original is the best thing, Siobhan.
It is. Yeah. I am a big Bonnie Tyler stan. I want to say that she is a queen and it's one of the best karaoke songs you could ever think of.
Well, if you weren't, Siobhan, about to go on maternity leave, we could have gone to karaoke together.
You'll have to hold that pipe dream for another year or so, see. But I do want to mention that our listeners will be hearing a little bit more from you. You're going to be hosting Quick Smart for the next few weeks. Do you have any designs on the programming?
Yes, there's a few interesting things that Jessie and I are cooking up. We're going to be talking about erasing your digital footprint, which I am incredibly interested in. And then it'll be Christmas and they'll be hearing you again over the summer.
Of course, there will be Quick Smart summer season, but it has been an absolute joy.
Thanks, everyone.
QuickSmart was recorded on the lands of the Gadigal people. If you like this chat, send it to that friend who's full of random music facts. And for more culture content, check out our episode on why horror films love religious imagery. We'll put a link to that ep and C's program, The Music Show, on our website. Thanks to my producer, Jesse Kay. And if you have any feedback or just want to share your favourite cover, drop us a line at quick.smart@abc.net.au.